Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info, and today is Tuesday, July the 14th, 2015. This is hour 275 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue, and occasionally we hear from Shaharon, using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. And I once again want to mention James from North Wales, Pennsylvania. Thank you, James. I appreciate what you do hosting all of Michael's hours on the web and helping us out. Thank you. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis.
Hello. Well, Michael's on a different computer today, and sounds a little different, but it sounds good to me and nice and clear. So we before we even started, I was thinking about this, about something they teach you in public school about the Big Bang Theory. And it's either the Big Bang Theory or God. So the Big Bang, I just mentioned to Michael, hey, I've set off fireworks and blown things up in the mud, you know, like a cherry bomb, boom, but I can't see the whole world and everything coming together with a Big Bang. And what a joke that really is. But they tell us thousands and thousands and thousands of times about the Big Bang Theory, and pretty soon people start repeating it like a parrot. And it doesn't make it true. And then you have God on the other side, which, wow, that's probably where all this came from. It certainly didn't come from something that went boom, and we're all here. So, well, Michael, welcome.
Listening to you. Your concept of the Big Bang, the concept of the Big Bang, which is stubborn approach presently to use all our scientific technology, also known as CERN's Large Hadron Collider, to prove that the Big Bang is the way it all happened. And I'd like to invite Shaharon to comment on whatever he wants to, maybe about the Big Bang, because he's basically been knocking at my consciousness, essentially knocking at the door, to help everyone understand the greater truth and the expansion of knowledge of our destiny. Is that okay?
Yes, please do.
Yeah.
Please do. Hello, Sharon.
Yes, this is Allah Tarafik Al-Sharon.
Hello, Sharon. I'm so glad you came on so quickly and way out there near Saturn. It's probably a beautiful view out there.
Oh, yes, we can view it, the nature of the solar system at normal view. You know, we have dimensional views that move our, you might say, consciousness into the realm where the aspects of a use of technological gadgetry is not necessary. I'm talking about a higher vision that is able to see great distances without necessarily using what you know as a telescope. That, of course, is by your humankind's inventiveness, a very good tool in exploring the greatness of and vastness of the viewpoint of your situation within the, you might say, the galactic makeup of your domain. And that is, I feel, an important element of the ascent, to know how great and large indeed the universe is beyond even your ability to measure. Now, moving into the realm in which I would like to discuss, follows your conscious desire to understand the formation of the universe. Fundamentally, the universe has its origin in the very makeup and nature of the first source and center. Without that, there would be no universe that could hold itself together in a very wonderful way. You know that many times I share a experience, and not only sharing mind, but sharing experience with my host, my friend, who you know as Michael of Maui. And in such, there are aspects that are in your realm doable, yet are expressive in understanding the nature of your reality. This was taught to humankind, but has taken its realm and many times forgotten what its relevance was. I talk about the physical dance. Do you understand that there were many teachers who did descend into your planet, desiring to uplift and understand, give understanding to humankind in a way which was embodied in a physical aspect of movement? This dance you can see perhaps in some of your culture. Have you ever heard of the whirling dervishes?
The whirling dervishes, no.
They simply whirl around in Turkey in a type of dance, almost hypnotic in its trance-like state, as they whirl and whirl around, spiraling about. It was used to teach the fundamental aspects of the makeup of all things that are. The spiral began its first ascent in reality in the domain of the first source, second source, and third source, the triunity of all that is, in a spiraling reality of divine, you might say, inspiration and authorship of the fundamentals which make up reality, and expanding itself down toward the very nature in which you live right now. You understand that this spiral, if you were to look upon it from the perspective of using your telescope, you discover even the grandest spirals of star-like structures about in your universe follow some form that tends to become a spiral. You live right now in a galaxy, in a part of the domain of a local system. This local system includes your known galaxy of your own name, the Milky Way, which is spiral in nature. But if you take that and take it to the very, very small quantum state, you would see essentially matter expressing itself in the same. When you are desiring even now to ascend toward divinity, do not forget the spiral. You also see it being taught upon your petroglyphs, as it was tried to be expressed as something to pay attention to in terms of the reality of all that is. You understand? Spiral again is, you might say, the waltz of reality. When you as ascendant beings, desiring to ascend, take to yourself the embrace of divinity implanted within you, which is in the Urantia book called the Thought Adjuster. Your embrace with that is a dance, is a spiraling dance about which you move and have your being. It is an exchange of experience. But it takes, even as you know, in terms of anything like movement together, such as the waltz, where two individuals move as one. This is not easy, but once it is done, it is beautiful to behold and much more beautiful to experience. When it is not, it is clumsy and it is out of order and harmony with the music. This is a troublesome being. But in your planet, you might say you have not yet fully mastered the waltz of the divine relationship. In all, but it is pointing to a much better way. You see, all of this spiral and tradition carved into the petroglyphs and stone in the ancient way of understanding has not fully penetrated all of your consciousness. You desire for the ascendant experience. You need to have this spiraling relationship, whirling about together with your divine nature. That divine nature will become, even as we able to extend our vision beyond the normal, you will share that because it is an attachment to your consciousness. Super consciousness is only capable when you understand the world and mix between yourself and the divine fragment, that divine fragment, that thought adjuster who brings to you wisdom, knowledge, experience, and insight. All of these things are mixed into your very personality, and doubt soon leaves where faith and experience are brought into the harmonious relationship of the spiraling relationship. You might call it that dance. But instead of two human beings dancing as one, it is one human being dancing as one with the divine in a spiraling exchange, and your directions being made as being led by the leader. You understand that when one dances in this spiraling dance, this waltz, there is one leader and one follower. In a similar sense, you have a very, very good leader given to you, which is capable of allowing you to experience the greatest heights of the divine nature. If, and only if, you follow the lead. It is not a lead that will lead you to terrible things. It is quite the opposite. It is a lead that will lead you to great exploration and wonder and expression and beauty and balance. All of these things are fundamental in the spiral. Do you ever watch a spinning top? Do you notice how well it is able to keep itself upright when it should fall down? How is this manageable? The spiral, again, a demonstration. You understand that even that will bring about even the techniques of anti-gravity, as the whirling spiral has to come about in terms of intricate force that is motioned within vehicles. This gives forth anti-gravity. But more important than this, much more important than this, in your personal ascent, you must also have this grand flow of the divine nature flowing about you in a spiral of your life, together making all decisions and directions in this continuous dance of divine nature. You understand, divine nature is not something you attain and as yourself you walk. No, the divine nature is what takes part in the waltz of your dance between yourself and the divine. The decisions made are made in terms of the leadership of the leader, which is truly your divine nature, the author of the universe, who brought forth all reality. And yet you can embellish, and yet you can express, and yet you can do many of the things within this reality because of your impressed abilities that are been and are given to you to continue in this divine spiral. So those things are not things that are made. Those things are things that are made beforehand by the nature of the divine and then impressed into you, bringing it about in a way that brings reality into your world. But first it is expressed in the divine nature. You have heard that it is first above, then below. This is a simple way of putting it into your consciousness. It is expressed fully in the divine, danced in your lives, and expressed through your output. This is the divine life, and this leads to eternal life. Without it, there is no continuance in eternal life, even as that top spinning will eventually run down and fall down and stop. Even though it may seem it has a good and wonderful time, allowing its spin to keep its life upright. Your life spin has a limit, but it was there only so that you would grasp that relationship and that divine spin, that waltz between yourself and what I would like you to know as the very God of the universe living within you. This is a great and wonderful secret that has been shadowing your enlightenment. But yet it has always pierced through to those who would take the time to embrace and grasp the lead of the divine. You may now want to know, what is the lead of the divine? What is the way in which the divine leads? Does he lead only in a suggestive voice? That is a higher level. Many times you're unable to receive such leading because it requires an acute mind trained to receive even verbal instruction. At first, it will be the pressure which is embraced in the divine nature, which finds its essence in the stability of the divine embrace, which is love. That divine embrace, that divine embrace is like, you might say, a vine, curling about you, embracing you in all matters of your life. This is where it starts. And as you move about without fear, knowing fully that you are actuating your perfect will, only perfect and made perfect because it is actually orchestrated by a divine romance, a beautiful waltz moving about the floor of your life in a terminal relationship of the physical entering into the universally divine. Establish yourselves first here in that divine relationship, ascending, aspiring about as best as you can, growing about greater and greater and greater insights to wisdom, to vision. And I say even that vision which knows beforehand what shall be. This confidence should be part of you. There be no fear then in you, for the things that should come will come, and the things that are meant to will come to reality. And many times that reality will be the orchestration you actually do with your own hands under divine guidance. And when I say your hands, I say your abilities and your nature within the realm in which you presently make your home, which includes your physical body. That's why many times physical ascent, physical things such as athletics, are an essential part of living the divine nature. Move about, but always with the consent of your will, submitting to the leadership of the Most Divine. Then you would find the greater and greater insight. To summarize, remember the spiral. Remember it as not a lonesome spiral, but one which is much more than solitary, filled with divine nature. Cannot proceed and continue without the constant influx and input of the divine. Remember that your dance in life is a waltz about between oneself and the divine author of all that is. Then you will begin to understand from the smallest quantum fabric to the actual largest segment of your perceptible universe. All is a grand spiral, united by the dominion of the outreach of the essence of life in love. Take the time now to think about it. Take the time now to perceive what it could be like. So many times when you sit back and ponder, remember you're not alone in your pondering, in your wondering. Give time for that leading to come forth, then follow that leading, and you'll find that if you can and do follow that leading, the beautiful will happen, the wondrous will become real. But when it is resisted, for whatever reason it may be, the stall can happen. And many times in your civilization's ascent, there have been many stalls. Many times a reset was necessary. In personal life of an individual, the similar things can come about too. All in all, correction is indeed part of learning to follow the leading. Proceed forward and continue with the mindset of following the grand leader. And in that waltz, the great and wonderful beauty shall always be made manifest. A life full of adventure, a life full of expression, a life made beautiful because of the divine dance. This is your destiny. This is how you actually spiral. Why do you think it was given to you that you should spiral in from the outermost dimension, from the seventh circle out, moving inward, all the way into the first, to the divine nature, guiding you in the innermost realm? It is a spiral. It is a dance. It is the motion of how you truly ascend this most wonderful inner. Look at yourselves. Understanding the vortex is to understand the universe in its creation.
Shaharon, you, in the beginning, you were talking about the formation of our universe and viewing our solar system and saying that you don't use the techniques we use as a telescope. And I was just wondering about what method you use for viewing, because for us, viewing with a telescope is all one way. We can only see in one direction, but possibly your viewing of our solar system and of our little planet Earth, possibly you can view it in two directions. Is that possible?
From what you're saying, I believe you're looking at it from a perspective of having a central point of view, moving that same central point of view to another point. You might say that it is possible, but in the way in which we view such things, it is as if we want to see a closer perspective. When we want to see this closer perspective, we are there.
I see.
When we want to move away to get a better grasp of its entire viewpoint, the panorama, if we have, we are there. We simply are able to grasp that. This is part of the inheritance that you will have, because it is a relationship that extends higher vision capability to you. You must realize that the, you might say, equipment that you have been given in your physical body, and you say your ability to magnify, whether it be distant objects or extremely small objects, is simply a way in which you use your present apparatus. But the vision in which I am talking about can only function if you extend yourselves past and away from the pure physical.
Okay, I paused this for a second while Michael's phone went off, and sounds like it hasn't come back on again. So I'm going to pause this again and wait. Hold on, please. All right, well, Michael's back on the line. He took his business phone call. And what happened to Shaharon, Michael?
Oh, when something like that he doesn't take over. Again, when it's a sharing, consciousness sharing, it's not like I, you know, got a unhook with him. He just simply steps off.
Yes.
You know, steps to the side, and it doesn't really matter. So
I was just asking him about, he was saying about
it. Yeah,
about
the
telescope.
I remember he was mentioning concerning this extra dimensional vision.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to know about. You know, we know much of it. We got other areas that people talk about or use, and one of them is called remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And remote viewing works, but it has limits to it because of the fact that much of the domain in which remote viewing functions is not locked in to the time sequencing that we know. So time is part of our domain. But in the realm in which that vision takes place, it is not part of that domain.
Mm-hmm.
Timelessness might be a better idea. So one needs to have other techniques to look into it. But what he did mention was that it's something that we need to grow into, and we can grow into. So that is, in my experience in this realm of vision, Marantia vision, or it's not really the same as what is used in remote viewing, because it is a little bit higher than that. In fact, quite a ways higher than remote. Remote viewing touches upon it and tries to eliminate personal consciousness. So in order to get a better grasp, this allows the thought adjuster to give direction, to give insight. And, you know, because we can easily overrule the divine fragment, you know, the divine fractal. So there are techniques that people have learned to use to attain some level of this Marantia vision, but we can even go beyond that if we are, you might say, entrained with the divinity within us. And that is probably the romance of the dance between ourselves and the divine, who gift us these extra properties which allow us to see even when we don't have real eyesight. Now there have been those who demonstrated that within the realm, and they've gone through aspects with an awakened, a fully conscious divine adjuster. And they have no eyes. Their eyes were removed, physically removed. They can read, they can recognize, and they can function as if they had eyes. And people were wondering if they had some kind of trickery or, you know, some remote control or maybe a hearing apparatus or something that allowed for that. But it was demonstrated over and over again that that was not so. It's part of the realm in which Christian, you know, miracles of the divine come about, you know. And it's an amazing thing when you see these people functioning that way. Mm-hmm. I think people can probably Google it, because it's one of the things that has happened in more than one individual, many individuals. Some people have gone, literally got their faces blown away, you know, but been reconstructed or something. And they had no sight, and then it was given to them. as they, as I said, they willingly stepped aside and allowed the divine to take over. And this many times has come in terms of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The idea of Lord and Savior means the idea of being the follower versus the leader. And from that point, then they have many of these things given. And this is the challenge that we have as human beings to overcome that. Yeah. Because a lot of times you want to know what to do. You want to know. But the follower has the challenge. You have to learn how to follow. And you cannot simply pre-work out many of the moves. You just have to be willing to follow it and follow it in a way that is harmonious to the dance. So that would be the way of the divine dance, very similar. But it first requires one to become the follower in the divine dance. Mm-hmm. How can you become divine when you're not divine? The only way you can become divine is being subject to the divine in that instant. And then through that living, you become, you might say, more and more divine in nature, until finally fusing with the divine and then becoming a truly higher citizen of truth, spirit.
Okay. Michael had to take another phone call. Sorry. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, there you are. Hi. Good. Well, you were right talking about the follower has a challenge.
Yes, yes. These people that I talked about who receive this like miraculous vision, mm-hmm. when they're really blind, they don't even have eyes. They're physically removed. They had to awaken. The divine fragment with them at a level which is open to us, everyone. But because of our fully intact sensory ability, many times that does not open to us. But it is capable of happening.
Mm-hmm.
Literally being turned on. But the first requirement is to be subordinate to the divine. That's why many times these people go about in crusades in which they sort of try to express the reality of God, the reality of Christ, Jesus, you know, and look at what's happened. Yeah.
Look at what's happened?
To them, you know, they can see without even having eyes.
I see.
And this is where we have those who have eyes to see cannot see. Those who have ears to hear cannot hear. What is it talking about? It's talking about the higher level sensory abilities that we're supposed to develop. Yet we're using technologies today, great scientific technologies, to try to explore what you were talking about in like the Big Bang and exploding a firecracker. Is that as simple as it is? You know, well, we're using a Large Hadron Collider right now to get to the fundamentals of what makes up a neutron. That's what, or a proton. I think it's a proton. And just whirling about.
Well, hold on, Michael. For some reason, your audio is up into the red and it's not moving as you talk. Oh, there, now. Now
okay.
Now it's back for some reason.
I don't know. So that would be, you know, the expression. We can try to mechanically express the universe's reality. And if the universe is fully mechanistic, then, you know, the whole expression of the divine ascent is limiting. You know, it becomes like a no destination. In other words, you arrive here and you have nothing beyond this universe. And that is pretty sad. The whole truth I found was to overcome this concept. You mean all of this is for nothing? Turns out I was gifted with the knowledge that it's absolutely not the case. It is much greater than that. A much more wonderful divine ascent. And if we only want to be captured within the domain of the physical realm, then we find ourselves only limited to the physical realm.
I say, well, for most of us, we feel like we're stuck in the physical realm.
Well, that's the starting point.
Yeah, that's
the
starting
point. But you're not stuck in it. The invite is out there, and we have, through the divine ascent experience, you might say through the whirling, spinning dance of the divine in our lives, given that chance, we will ascend.
I see.
Okay. So, I think Shaharun was expressing something similar.
Yeah, well, he spoke of the inheritance that we would have. Sounds like he has real vision ahead.
Sounds
like we are going to inherit this Morantial viewing or this divine spin.
Yeah. And I think that we all can, and we, in part, many of us, because of being locked into the physical, we are sort of like, you know, like our domain right now is in the ocean and we're porpoises. And every once in a while we jump out of the water and say, you know, there's an island over there above the water. So again, the next thing you know, we splash right back into the realm, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like we don't fully appreciate it because we don't really live there yet. But we can sense it. And that sensory ability can continue to grow. So our lives really are moving toward a higher destination, higher fulfillment of grander reality.
Well, it sounds beautiful.
It is.
I mean, the reality here on this planet is many parts of this world is beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
As long as man hasn't gotten in and rebuilt it to the way he wants it. And sometimes he does a good job, and sometimes it doesn't look like it did in all of nature. Nature is just beautiful, but it seems like they want to build things his way.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this, so Shaharon was talking about this challenge of this different perspective, this spiral dance.
Yeah.
So when he speaks of the spiral, I mean, Shaharon was talking about the Milky Way and the spiral of the Milky Way, and I imagine everything's in a spiral.
I think it was the point. That was the point being made.
That everything
is in a spiral.
Everything's in a spiral.
sort of following that ideal, you know, expression.
I was trying to see if there was some other mechanical, because he was talking about our telescope and our mechanical way of viewing our solar system. And I wanted to hear him say more about his mechanical way of viewing us.
It's not mechanical. Did you get that?
I know it's not mechanical, but I've got a mechanical brain. You put things together to make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
And I, you know, spiritual spinning, I wanted to hear what kind of viewing he does with us, or could it be a two-way viewing?
Oh, yeah.
Because we do have telescopes and we can see the sphere out near Saturn, that where he is. We can't peer inside. We don't have that. Our telescope is still, you know, pieces of equipment that are bolted together. So do you know what kind of equipment he was talking about, or Chaperone, he's gone?
Well, he was in reference to, you might say, our own extension, you know, extension past our own physical capability. And when we look at the extension of, whether it be a telescope or a microscope, it's still using the physics of lenses and light. So, bending and things like that.
So I guess Chaperone was broke off when your telephone rang. That was a pretty loud telephone ring. I can see why he left. It's like, oh, he says. But you're on call, and they're calling you. So it's just a matter of what's happening right now.
Part of the point is that we have interruptions in our life.
Yes.
So these things got to be on, continue, move on. But take the time, and when you have that time, to develop. And if you don't, then it will be not developed. Simple as that. Better to have it partially than not at all.
And can you give us some pointers on developing this spiral?
First, you need to just take the time out. If you don't, it'll be like, oh, these people haven't got the message. When they have free time, what is the first thing these people do? They get off track, go seek pleasure, and play. Okay, for how long? Until they're exhausted and can't extend themselves. Oh, no. They missed the whole point. And this is probably one of the things that we've got to understand. We don't want to miss the whole point. We want to be on target, at least understanding consciously. We need to take time out to waltz, to move about in a willing and subordinate point of being led through the dance of higher life development. And this is one of the things I did. I remember the very point in which that happened. And things certainly changed. And my life has not gone to a point of boredom and, you might say, like nothing has happened. It's actually gone exactly the way that biblically described, leading you to, you might say, better places, having a life more abundant, to be able to live more abundantly. And it only happens when one starts in that point of choice, And if you don't make that choice, you end up without the benefits of moving forward in some of the aspects of, you might say, a more rewarding life experience,
mm-hmm.
or full in its, you might say, in its range of experience. It didn't come to give us limits on that. Gave us instead of the limits, give us greater realm, greater, bigger picture. But we always want to pull it down to the level of our own limitations instead of trying to grow into the greater. And that is the key right there, where people try to put too many limits on growth. So have you ever heard of wasting time?
Oh, yes. Oh, there's lots of ways to waste time.
Yeah. Well, that is something that is really not open to him. He cannot waste time because he's continually involved in doing something expressive. You know, so many times the human shortcoming is not knowing how to express life in terms of timelessness, which can only be experienced in a kind of a divine embrace or dance. Going back to what was expressed about the divine dance he was talking about long ago, and spirals and all these things. Yeah. Don't want to limit your life development. And as soon as you know, no matter how grand the scientists are, they eventually die, you know. Where did he go? So you talk to some of these scientists, and they really realize that this is how they made their living. But in the level of finding life's purpose, many of them do believe that finding God is really what it's all about. So they may be in worship through their science. But those who don't want to find God in their science, instead go the opposite direction, will find themselves very saddened by the reality of being very, very limited. In other words, in this life, they may be considered a genius with high level of intelligence. But when they find themselves in a different environment, they will find themselves as, you might not necessarily lunatics, but maybe an idiot, you know. What would be considered common sense to them would be considered, they don't understand it anymore. You're like, they're kind of like dumb,
mm-hmm.
you know. So yet those who understand the spiritual realm, grow spiritually, grow in the level of awakening and continually awakening more and more elements of sensory ability through extending our lives past the dimensional barriers, and then because of that, are enriched and grow to a level of really becoming more and more like him, like like God, you might say, the very nature within us becoming more and more as we, you know, you might say, subject ourselves willingly to the leadership, the lead of the dance, you know, the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, when we're not wasting time, when we're just sitting there trying to experience this life of ours,
yeah,
is there some direction you can place us in for helping us to find this life's purpose?
Well, you know, when people look into understanding the universe, first of all, I really was given the fact that it was already entrusted into us. God is inside of you already. When you look for God, you want to release God in you. How do you do it? It's got to be something that turns on this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that relationship is made and it's given to us in a special way because our planet was the very last place in which the universe creator himself became his lowest creation of sentient being. You know what I mean? He didn't become a snail or a frog. He became a human because that was the lowest level and he chose our planet. But what he did was gave truly a divine perspective, but I was allowing it to be anthropomorphized or given human qualities because he lived a human way. And that's where the advantage we have over other areas of the universe is that we have that, you might say, personality, that way that is given to us. So that when we decide that we want to go on that journey of divine attainment to find greater truth, we have that vehicle given to us because of a personality. And that personality is commonly known as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, once accepted, opens the gateway to an activated divinity within us. And that's why so many people, once they do activate it, simply by saying, I accept the Lordship in spite of my shortcomings. And sometimes people say, in spite of your sinfulness or whatever it is. These are shortcomings. In spite of the limitations of which I openly acknowledge. We are not gods to ourselves, but we have limits. And these limits are the very source of not being able to make the divine ascent. So we have to admit our shortcomings and then be willing to subject ourselves to the leadership of the divine nature. And we have the advantage of having a human personality to start the relationship off. And that will extend itself past that into the realm of other beings. Beings of perhaps you might have been called at one time angels. Others which we know as the Shaharuns themselves are ascendant beings who have gone the whole limit from being a mortal being into ascending to the point of becoming spiritually attained and then being sent back into our locality to try to assist in our own ascent. They use vehicles that we can try to understand and then apply. And this way, in using plain English, you might say, is one of the methods that they are using today because of perhaps the relationship that was installed upon me to benefit the more of humanity, the more of humanity through a more, you know, not so esoteric, somewhat more practical,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what happens with churches and religions, they become so clogged up with drama, and many of the drama is in, you know, whether it be the way in which it's held in the ceremonies within Catholic churches or Episcopal Christian, or it could be Buddhist ceremony, it could be Shinto or some other. They all clog up with these things of, you might say, drama, you know, or acting, and, you know, trying to get us off being only natural, you know. But then the drama becomes more and more until we actually don't. The greatest and most wonderful natural affinity that we have is in love. And that starts off with the real, you might say, marriage relationship, a relationship between two individuals that places one individual, both individuals, you might say, cherishing the other more than themselves. This begins the nature of a higher level of love. And that higher level of love is something that is expressed and exchanged. And if you can have that higher level of love, you can understand and you will literally feel the divine embrace in a similar sense, one in which is longed for as much as you would as a lover or as a husband and a wife would love that physical embrace. And of course, out of that physical embrace, many times is children that come out of that. And that's new life, but it's all destined toward the divine embrace, which is the true nature of the ascent career, because that divine embrace produces an eternal being with a nature which is most divine and fully perfected in all of its dimensions that are also ever expanding. So as the universe is ever expanding, as universe Big Bang, the individual personality, even at a point of divine attainment, is continually expanding.
Well, that's good to hear. It's expanding and it's continuing. That's
not limiting. Not,
yeah, it's not stagnant.
Yeah, exactly.
Going the that's other what, way.
Yeah. Yeah, who would want to be stagnant, you know?
No.
But that's exactly what man designed for himself in many of the ideals of political structure, mm-hmm. and you know, the order of civilization, you know, and they all failed, you know. Communism failed because that's what they did, you know. It took away some of the things concerning, you know, the expression of life. Oh no, your career, your destiny is in our hands, you know. We'll choose for you what is best for you, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, always very interesting, and it's wonderful to have Shaharon come on.
Okay.
He left rather suddenly.
Well, he also comes around pretty suddenly, too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did, and I know he's listening.
Yeah.
And it's all good to hear the higher
well,
life,
part of the reason
higher life development.
Was, yeah, part of the reason that we went this path, they went through this path of using a human voice, was that we are ascended to a point where, you know, humanity is ascended to a point where we don't look as this as a person like me as being some kind of mysterious voice from God, a prophet, you might say. It's not mysterious. The mechanism can be explained, and then the relationship really built, which is the frustrations which the prophets had. You know, the Old Testament prophets always yelled and screamed at the people and kind of threatened them with, you know, you might say grand divine punishment. But if you look at what it was because of, it was because they lost focus on their ascent career, people, and they essentially were no longer functioning on there. They were moving into a level of, you might say, this self-destruction of going, or going to a point of just worthlessness, not development, developing themselves as well as society. And then coming to a point of absolute stagnation. One of the things that I visited was this place in, you drive down the road and go over there to, forgot the name, but what was that? Where the volcano blew up and then it covered the city.
Mount St. Helens?
No, no, in Europe.
Pompeii.
Yeah, that's where it went.
Vesuvius.
Pompeii. Yeah, Mount Vesuvius is still there, but the Pompeii, you know, the structure of an intact city and how people actually lived was somewhat, you know, immortalized in stone, you know, under this volcanic ash. Caught people in various acts, or in, you know, like running away, things like that, or in embracing themselves as they died together. Also, how some of the structure was in the cities. And one of the things that was interesting, what they found out, was that prostitution was a huge business. And it was something that was, I guess, used as a business tool by many of the super wealthy who had for themselves their own things, which they got all, you know, essentially they took the natural concept, which makes us especially important, is that that is the very reason for our being, you know, to go to the point of being, you know, basically the, you know, coming from the dust, you might, the dirt of the planet, becoming living creatures, and then being able to procreate and then produce other living creatures who are on the divine ascent career. Now, when that was totally turned around and made into a business, and then the whole ascent career was dissolved, and even the husband-wife relationship and that love embrace was all distorted, then what ended up is that the city lost its usefulness. So it didn't even have a warning. So it just became like, okay, just for you guys to remember, this is not the way to do it. Yeah,
that's quite a city to visit.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of hot. For me, it was like miserable.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, hot, and wasn't anything really great about it. I just, you know, what the researchers found out was more enlightening, you know. And that is one of the things that I guess you can take away from that place, is it got caught in the middle of it, where other cities were just, you know, they had warnings and they evacuated, and you didn't find people covered in ash or locked in the physical embrace, dying together, you know. And that, of course, shows the fact that there were people who understood that, and yet the city in itself had lost its direction in terms of, again, ascending the chasing after wealth and riches, because it was within the realm of that they were creating, you know, many different ways in which they could, I guess, support that industry, whether it be openly or hidden in these wealthy people's homes. You know, these wealthy people had these big, gigantic, I guess, complexes that had way hidden back in the back corners, or not necessarily corners, but sections, their own private version of whatever you call those places. Anyway, and they maybe were using it for like business clients and stuff, which is still going on today, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we're up to like 70 minutes, and let's just end this for now, I suppose, and talk with you again next week.
Okay.
All right, Michael. Aloha.
All right. Aloha.